Reading from this morning is from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. When the time came for the purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, you are now dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with the wisdom, and the favour of God was upon him. For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Each in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, amazing how things move and change, isn't it? Guess what? Only 300 days till next Christmas. We count time, don't we? We count our days, we count the ins, we count the outs, we count all of these things. And indeed, time is something which we need to count. The Bible tells us to number our days, teach us to number our days that we might be wise, the Bible says. Because there is this idea that time, our time, is a great leveler in that everybody has exactly the same amount of minutes in the day and hours in the day and in the week, in the month, in the years. But time is not something which we have control over, is it? We don't get that. In our readings today, we have this moment where Simeon and Anna, who are both people who are prophets, have been in the temple waiting, and they've been counting the time, and they've been waiting for something which they have been promised. And it's the same promise that we have been reading of over Christmas, the promises in Isaiah that a child would be born for us, that a son would be born, that his name would be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, that he would be Emmanuel, God with us, that he would come to save his people, that he would come to save the nations. Time is something both Simeon and Anna had obviously a lot of. Wait. As Simeon was very old, and he had been waiting a long time, and he was summoned by the Holy Spirit to come to the temple at this time. Anna was married for 7 years and then a widow for 84 years after that. Now, if you add 7 to 84, you get 91, don't you? Or 90? Yep, 91. Now, she wouldn't have got married at zero. The earliest she would have been married is 14. So if you add 14 to 91, how old is Anna? 105. And for 84 years, she's been in the temple waiting. Waiting, believing, looking for what God would bring. Been working within her time for something which is eternally so, and yet she knew it would happen sometime in her timing, just as Simeon knew something would happen in his timing, because God had said to him, you will not see death before the Messiah comes. You'll see the Messiah first. Our time and God's time are different, though. God's time has a different word, and that's in Galatians, in our Galatians reading today. It's a different word. It says, when the fullness of time had come, and the word used there is different to the word that we use for time. Our word for time is chronos. You know, things are chronological. You know the word chronological? Okay, so they go in time like this. God's time, his word for time, when it is God's way of working, is kairos. And kairos is God's word for time, which happens in his timing. In Galatians, Paul tells us when the fullness of time, kairos, had come. Then God sent his son. Two types of time. Simeon and Anna were waiting through chronological time for God's kairos, for God's fullness of time, for the child that they knew would come into the world. What gives us the ability to wait like that? Well, it's the Holy Spirit. It's understanding what God does. It's believing for something that God has said. Has anybody ever had a word that God has given them? Somebody has said to them, I believe this is something for you from God. And it's really gone into your heart, and you know that that was from God and that you need to wait for it. Everybody has different times when we just in our lives of faith recognize that God has said now. Or he has said, this I will do, and you need to wait for me. And, of course, God, when he speaks it is already so, because God creates with his words. But we, sitting within our time frames as human beings, we don't necessarily see what God's up to in that timing. We have to wait for when it comes. And when it comes, we have to work with it. And the times and the seasons are sometimes very much in a place where they are hard to work with. Now, I have with me some calendars today. These are 2024 calendars. But chronos time. So it's the 31st of December, so this starts tomorrow. And we get a whole year, and they can fit it on a piece of paper. It's a little bit scary in one way, isn't it? It goes fast sometimes, and it goes too slow at other times, doesn't it? Even though we know a minute is a minute is a minute. I think that's evidence that chronos and kairos time exist. So I have a few of these, and I have some folders, because the folders are bigger than the paper. Because what I was going to suggest to our young ones, if they would like to do it, when I was a kid, I was taught to write down the things that God showed me and to write in the whens. But I was also taught to watch the calendar and know that there are certain times in my life when I need to take a note of something. There'll be anniversaries of things. There'll be things that are happening. But when you put those two things together, you start to understand what God might be doing. So I'm going to encourage you to do a little thing for the new year, and that is to take a folder, put a calendar in it. These are manila folders, so they're bigger than the A4. Put a calendar in it, tape it in, and then inside this, you put within it all of the things that you are hoping for and dreaming for, and to pray through those things and ask God in His Kairos time to bring these things. And then if God gives you a word and says, and you know that God has said, I want you to do this, you write that, you keep this, and it becomes somewhere you can go back to later in life. But also, right now, it's a bit boring and plain, so it's going to need a little bit of decorating. So do you reckon you can do that? So I'm going to bring these down. Anybody else who wants to do one of these, you're welcome. But they are really, it's a really useful way of holding together both types of time in our lives. Mary and Joseph turned up at the temple. They turned up at the temple to fulfill the things of the law. Mary was impure. She wasn't. She needed to be purified. She needed to come in, and she needed to offer a sacrifice for her purification, because the Old Testament says that you're impure for 40 days after you have your child, if it's a boy. Longer if it's a girl in the Old Testament, but we won't go there. she says, having gone there. and so after those 40 days, you had to come to the temple and you had to offer a sacrifice for your purification. But also, Jesus is a firstborn son. And the firstborn of every family belongs to God, according to the Old Testament law. And what happened was there was an exchange. And in order to redeem their firstborn children, what people were told was they could give a gift to the temple and pay that redemption amount, that money to the temple, so that they could take their child home and the child was theirs. The child was not left with God. Now, if you didn't pay your money, you were dedicating your child to the Lord. Somebody else did this. Remember who did this? A long time before, she had a child and she took him to the temple and she dedicated him to the Lord. Samuel's mom, Hannah, that's right. And she brought her son to the Lord and she brought him into the temple and she did the sacrifice for her purification and she did not pay to redeem him from God. He left him as God's child, belonging to the Lord. Mary's done the same thing. There is no mention of the payment to redeem the child. Now, they didn't take Jesus back to the temple when he was weaned and leave him there, because they were the guardians of this child of God, weren't they? He had been placed in their hands. And Joseph and Mary brought Jesus up at home in Nazareth when they got back there. But the point is really clear in that this child is placed in the hands of God and they say, this is our firstborn son, he's your child. And of course, he is God's firstborn son in that he's the only begotten, isn't he? He's the one and only son of God. Perhaps they felt that they weren't going to redeem back the Son of God. And I don't think you could you? So he was designated as holy to the Lord from the beginning and was going to be. But they make a deliberate handing over to make sure that that is so. And Mary and Joseph give the two pigeons for her purification. And they're doing this, which is the fulfillment of the law, which is showing their own faithfulness to God. And these two faithful people come up to them. And Simeon has heard from the Lord. He knows what God has said to him. He's well aware. He's been guided by the Spirit to be in the temple at that day, at that hour. And he recognizes the Son of God in the arms of Mary. And he comes over to them and says, "Now you're dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, promise that he had received over all of this time. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Simeon saw beyond the idea of a Messiah just for the Israelite people. He saw beyond the idea of someone who was just going to save the Jews out of the oppression they were under. He knew that this Messiah was for the whole world. But what he then says is the things that I think more than anything amazed Mary and Joseph. I think they would have been amazed. Anybody would have been amazed if somebody walked up to you and said, "Hey, your son's the Messiah and I know it," and they're a stranger. It'd be different if he knew them in Nazareth and he understood that Mary had been pregnant from the Holy Spirit and everything. But he didn't know any of that. He didn't know these two people. He's walked up and just started speaking and probably freak them out completely. It would freak you out, wouldn't it, if somebody just walked up and started speaking over your life? But then that's often when you know God's been working. The child is destined for the falling and rising of many, he tells them, in Israel. The falling and rising of many in Israel. And to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. You know, it's interesting, if you get opposition or if you get people who really are pushing back against what is going on in your life, what God is trying to do, that's when you often find out what side people are on, don't you? When you start a war, you find out what side everybody's on, because people have to take sides. And Jesus came in war against death and sin on our behalf. And you find out what side people are on when people do this. Simeon says he's going to show. Some people will fall because of him. Some people will be raised up because of him. And the inner thoughts of people and who they really are going to be shown because of him. And then, of course, he turns to Mary and says, "A sword would pierce your own soul too." And we hear even now the echo of the cross. Because Simeon knows this is the child foretold in Isaiah. And in our early service, we read the end of Isaiah 61. But actually, right before that, in Isaiah 50, we've heard about our suffering servant. Isaiah had told us that this child that would be born would be the suffering servant, that he would die, that his wounds would become healing for all. Zechariah told us that the one who went into Jerusalem on the donkey would be raised up. And when he was raised up, his blood would bring forgiveness for all. If they'd read the prophets, they knew. Simeon had read the prophets. And Anna, who is also a prophet and who is someone who has lived in this temple waiting for what she knew God had told her would be, Anna doesn't speak over the child. She starts telling everybody who the child is. Anna is letting them know, this is the fulfillment. This is the fulfillment. This child is Messiah. This is happening. God is bringing this into the world now. And she gets excited and runs around, lets everybody know that what she's been waiting for is right in front of them. Marvelous moment. Marvelous moment. It's captured in time, and Luke tells us about it. but the fulfillment of all that they've been saying, we read in Galatians 4. When that fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, therefore human as well as divine, born as a Jew, so able to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, because a Jewish person needed to keep the law and live it out properly all the way to the end. Born under the law in order to redeem, there's that word again, redeem means you pay the price to buy back the life of the other. So to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our heart, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. So the child comes, the child grows, the child dies, the child is raised. The child is the Son of God. And what he does through those things forever gives us access. And because he is firstborn son, and because he is son of the living God, when he calls our name, we are adopted too. When we respond, gotta respond. Gotta respond. Not a universal thing where just because Jesus died, everybody gets saved. It happens because we respond to Jesus and we understand and we say our yes to him. It happens. It's there for everyone. The thing that gets me is Jesus did this for absolutely every person, and yet there's a lot of people who don't want to know. There's a lot of people who have trouble knowing, and that's because this is quite confronting. A, you've got to admit that you do the wrong thing sometimes and you're a sinner and that you're not perfect, and just by being a good person you can't get there. Because people want to believe that that's how we get there. We can just be good people all our lives and then God will appreciate that. And that's great. But what do you do with all of the things you've done wrong? And all of the things we've done wrong still are wrong. And they stay wrong until they are washed away with the blood of Jesus. They continue to get in the way. Why salvation is so important. Why the message is so important. I love that Anna was out there telling everybody because she knew that this was the message which would save them. For each one of us here, God called our names at some stage and we heard him. And when the Father calls your name and the Father names you and you respond to that call, he adopts you as his child. And then we become people who are people of the Kairos, the fullness of time, God's timing. And in that, God works out things. And in the Chronos time, things are often mistimed. They feel like it's a bad time for everything, and it can be a really bad time. At this time of year, for a lot of people, it's a bad time of year because stuff happens in our lives, and if it happens at Christmas, every Christmas we remember, don't we? But this is God's point. Emmanuel, God with us. He is here now in the midst of whatever it is that happens within the Chronos time of our life. His Kairos never goes away. His work in our lives never stops. His fullness of time never runs out because he is outside of time. And one day there will be a time when he will come. Because Jesus has said that he will come back. He will come back, and at the moment he comes back, all of the things that we think are so important are no longer important. The only thing that's important is him. and he will take us to himself, and we will live in a new creation. Until then, we've got to put up with this one, which is in trouble right now, and will be until the end of our time. What are you waiting for? Is there something in your life that you are really hoping to see? There's something that you've prayed for a long time. There's someone that you've prayed for a long time. Is there something that you've been placing in God's tidy, lovely hands day after day after day, saying, Lord, this. You feel like perhaps he hasn't heard you because it hasn't happened yet. You feel like perhaps it's not that important to him. Perhaps he's doing something else which is more important, and I'm not as important as that person, so he's doing that thing. Simeon and Anna tell us something else. God is always working his purpose out. He will always hear your prayer. He will still be working in the lives of those we pray for. He will not always do what we want him to do. He's God, and we don't have that control. That's probably a good thing. But sometimes when you look back, you think, geez, if you'd actually done that when I asked you to do it, Lord, it would have knocked up a few things. You ever looked back and gone, oh, yeah, God, that, yeah, you were right. Not then. God's time, his kairos time, means that he is listening, he is working, and that which he has told you he will do, he will do. He will do it in his own way. He will do it in a way quite possibly that you weren't expecting, because, let's face it, who wants a Messiah who is weak and is a baby and is unable to do anything? You want him to turn up in his knight in shining armor first, don't you? But God does it that way because there is a reason. And trusting him for that reason, as Simeon and Anna did for all of their years, that is what he calls us to. Because he will do that which is the best for every person we pray for. And in every one of our lives, he will do what is best. And the world will not often do what is best. And sometimes the world breaks in, and sometimes things are stolen from us by the things of the world. But God is the great Redeemer, and he will bring us through whatever goes on. Our promise that he will walk with us. Lo, I am with you always, said Jesus, to the end of the age. So, today is the 31st of December, the last day of 2023. We want to put it behind us. Some of us would like to say goodbye, do not come back to that year. Some of us are saying, okay, it wasn't a bad year, I'll have another one of those. Some people are somewhere in between. Right now, let's put 2024 in God's hands. Let's ask him to bring into it that which he wants. And let's stand before him. And in doing that, let's place ourselves into his hands. Everyone who is a believer and who has been able to do so is baptized into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And those who are here are believers. You will have been baptized at some stage. And if you haven't been baptized, talk to me later. And we make promises to follow the Lord when we do that, don't we? So as a way of leaving the year behind and coming into the new year as a person of faith who would like God to work in their life and who chooses once again to continue following Jesus, let's renew those vows that we have made as people who are the body of Christ in the world. I'm going to ask you to stand, and words are going to come up on the screen. And we always stand when we mean it in the Anglican Church, so I'm going to ask you to stand. And we're going to do this together. Do you believe in God the Father who made the world? I believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ, who redeemed our human race? I believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in his Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God? I believe and trust in him. This is our faith, the faith of the church. This is our faith. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you reaffirm your renunciation of evil and renew your commitment to Jesus Christ? I do. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? I will, with God's help. Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fail, repent and return to the Lord? I will, with God's help. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Jesus? I will, with God's help. Will you seek to serve Jesus by loving your neighbor as yourself? I will, with God's help. Will you work and pray for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? I will, with God's help. And we say together, may Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us a new birth by water and the Holy Spirit, and bestowed upon us the forgiveness of sins, keep us in eternal life by his grace, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.